What a day. It's Insight on PRN.FM. Mark Farrell with Liz Malone. Hello, Liz. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You look extraordinary, as usual.
Aw, thank you.
Beautiful day in New York City, and hopefully wherever you are on this big planet, it's sunny as well. Well, it can't all be sunny, right, wherever they are right now. Got to have some darkness on the other side of the globe. I'm glad our first guest is actually calling in, although I'd really like to have her in the studio, of course, but I'm kind of blinking uncontrollably this morning. If you haven't noticed me kind of extensively winking at you.
I'm glad you cleared that up. I wasn't sure.
I'm doing some work around the house, and I think I got some... Oh, actually, this is the funny part. The humorous part is that I'm very crazed about wearing eye protection because I only have one real good eye when I'm using saws and sanders and all that jazz. So I take my goggles, I turn them inside out, and I give them a good blow it out. Guess where all the contents of that went? In my right eye.
Got a little blowback action.
Blowback,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. So mm-hmm. I may have to go to definitely a physician today. So I'm kind of winking and puffy-eyed. And if you log on to PRN.FM, which you are obviously doing right now, you can see on the camera, see? Wah! It's not a pretty sight, me with a good eye or a bad eye. But, and that's only one of my dilemmas this morning. You know, the other saga is, do you wear skinny jeans? I think the silence means...
As in the skinny...
I guess they're called skinny cut.
Straight cut? I'm a bootleg cut kind of girl.
See, I'm a bootleg dude. So, you know, I'm a Levi kind of guy. I don't have all the semantics down, but I usually wear 527s. And this story is actually going somewhere. And I went to buy a pair of 527s the other day, and I try them on. I'm like, whoa, I know I didn't gain weight, and they're all tight. She's like, oh, they're slim fit or skinny fit or whatever they are now. Whatever all the rockers wear.
So sort of tight at the ankles.
Tight all over, girl. That's why I'm speaking just a few octaves higher today.
You're turning a little purple.
Yeah, it's probably not helping my eye condition. Well, maybe it'll actually pop the sawdust right out of my eye. Anyway, Levi Strauss, I love your jeans, but man, stop switching the numbers of your jeans and how they're cut, because it's not good for any part of my anatomy, that's for sure. So, of course, I'm sure all the PRN listeners have been on the edge of their seat waiting for yesterday's announcement for the top people's 50 most beautiful people of the world.
Oh, it's that time of year again.
Yeah, it is.
I thought I felt the earth moving.
Yeah, you felt the tectonic plate shift, right?
I knew it was time to recognize beautiful people once again.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm very excited. And this is another reason for... Have you seen 12 Years of Slave?
Oh,
12 Years of Slave?
Mm-hmm.
Have I, but yet another reason. And I'm really happy that Lupita, I love saying that word, Lupita. What a great name. Lupita Nyong'o won, topping the list of the 50 most beautiful people, starring in 12 Years a Slave. I mean, she's pretty extraordinary looking, well-spoken as well. So that's kind of cool. I mean, it's obviously kind of a shallow thing, and it sells oodles and oodles worth of magazines, which, hey, that's what they're there for.
But she truly defines, or I should say redefines, the image of beauty.
I like how you say that, redefine.
Really recognizing women of ethnicity. Mm-hmm. And she's stunningly beautiful.
It's a great platform, and I'm really happy that they chose a woman and a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
I agree.
Well, here, of course, at PRN, we get our hands on everything. Coveted issues, we have a special, special people edition. And this one actually has the 51 most beautiful people in the world. Guess who tops this list? I'm talking to the guys in the other room. Giselle, do you have an idea? Jason? Casey? They all know. They're nodding their head. It is our very own Insights Liz Malone!
Oh, God.
Yes. Let's hear it. Bells, fanfare. You are the 51st most beautiful person.
Wow.
In my heart, certainly are.
Well, I guess it's just an honor to be nominated.
Yes, exactly. Is that your acceptance speech? I think it's a damn good one. Short and to the point. You know, and it's a great segue to our guest today because, you know, it's all about beauty, right? The world is all about beauty and money. Mm-hmm. We think some days, and sometimes it's very upsetting. There's an organization called Positive Exposure, and they utilize photography, video, narratives to present the humanity and dignity of individuals living with genetic, physical, behavioral, and cognitive differences. And it's sad to see, but, you know, again, so much of our society bases a book on its cover. And this organization, nonprofit 501c3, has been online for, since 1998. By the founder, Rick Giodotti, who couldn't be here today. He was on a train. So, Rick, if you're on a train, make sure you get by the bar car and have a cold one for Liz. But in his stead is the executive director, Liz Grossman. And Liz, how are you today?
Thanks. Thanks for having us on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. For a second there, I thought you were on a train with Rick.
Yeah, I know. And I apologize, I have allergies, so I'm sounding a little bit like Lauren Bacall today.
So maybe you should have been in the studio today. I would have been winking at you, you would have been tearing up, and Liz would have been laughing at both of us. And of course, you would have seen the 51st most beautiful person in the world. It would have been a win all around. So one of the nicest, most beautiful, I'm sorry to say most beautiful, but it warrants most beautiful websites I've ever been to, because first of all, Rick is a former fashion photographer. We're going to get into his background. But the pictures of these children and young adults and adults are just absolutely stunning in every capacity.
Yeah, they're quite amazing. Rick is a fantastic photographer, and, you know, as you said, and we can talk about his background, but he has truly a magic, too, in terms of how he captures just the beauty of everyone. He's a really amazing person in that regard. And shall I? Is this a good time to talk about his background and how Positive Exposure came to be?
No, I was hoping you were going to talk to me about the new car you're going to buy. Of course, it's a great time, Liz.
Yeah, well, I can talk to you about that too. But Positive Exposure was started by Rick Guidotti, who is on a train right now, and he was a fashion photographer. Photographing and working with such, Claudia Schiffer, Cindy Crawford, and so forth, and really, at the, top of his game.
Wow.
And, it's interesting. He always says that, he was always told who was beautiful, who the moment, the model of the day was, mm-hmm. and the model of the moment was. And as an artist, he saw sort of beauty everywhere, and it was very frustrating for him to work within this sort of beauty standard. And one day after, it was like a L'Oreal, it was a casting, and he had all these composites of models from, all over the world. He went out just to the bank outside of his loft in New York City, and on the bus, waiting for the bus, was a beautiful, beautiful young girl. And she had, just absolutely beautiful, and she was stunning. She didn't have pigmentation in her hair or her skin or eyes. And she was gorgeous, but he realized he had never seen a model like this before. And he knew that she had the genetic condition albinism. And so what he did is, rather than, as he always tells the story, rather than go up and grab her and then get her on, before she got on the bus, which he was.
Oh, here, take my card. I'm a photographer. This is legit.
Instead, he went down to the bookstore, and he got books out on albinism, and there were textbooks there as well, and he started looking at it, and he just found really negative images, stereotypical images of people living with albinism, and even the circus family, and all sorts of things, just really just wrought with discrimination, and then he started looking at other genetic conditions, and he started to see, completely no humanity, a person, a boy, for example, or a girl, basically without clothes on in a clinic, with a black bar, that portable black bar kind
mm-hmm.
of,
sure.
And he said, where was this beautiful girl? And so it kind of was that triggered this sort of journey that he went on. And so, as long story short, really, he ended up contacting NOAA, which is a national organization for albinism and hypopigmentation. And he said, hey, I'm a fashion photographer. I want to take photos and let's work together. And they basically told him to get lost. But if you know Rick, and if you hopefully meet him one day, he's very, very persistent. And he said, no, I want to find out why, And they were basically afraid of exploitation and
sure.
so forth. So he said, let's partner. I'm a fashion photographer. You're a genetic support group. Let's work together. And so he worked together, and he decided he wanted to do a photo shoot. And the first person that came into the studio was a beautiful girl. Her name was Christine, but she was hunched over and looking her eyes down, and she'd been teased in her entire life. And he thought, wow, I have to be careful here. But then he said, no, out of respect for this beautiful girl, I'm going to do what I just did with Cindy Crawford just yesterday mm-hmm. in my studio. So he turned on the fan and the music, and he took a mirror, and he held it up to this young woman, and he said, look at yourself. You're beautiful. You're amazing.
Fantastic.
And she just, her whole body changed, her demeanor, everything. And this first shot, which if you can see it, was this beautiful shot of this beautiful girl, and ends up eventually a little bit later on the cover in a spread, Life magazine.
Which magazine?
Which is this beautiful Life
magazine. Life magazine. You broke up. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You're breaking up. That was Life magazine.
Life magazine.
Okay, you're breaking up on us. Hopefully you're still there. All right, we may have lost Liz temporarily, but what a great story. I mean, being on a bus stop, on a break, going to the bank, Liz.
Mm-hmm. You never know what you're going to run into.
Yeah, and now this woman, we're going to find out her name. She's, I think, the unofficial poster child or person for positive exposure, because she is all over the website, and she is stunning. I'm sure you saw the website, the woman with the very close to white colored hair, with her hair blown back in certain shots, and she's just really stunning, uniquely mm-hmm. stunning. And I love the fact that a fashion photographer just said, to hell with it, I'm just fed up, and I'm going to do my own thing here.
Beauty really comes in so many different forms, mm-hmm. and I think we just, as a society, have to be open to it.
As they're redefining it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know what, he's probably very successful. I mean, he was working for Yves Saint Laurent. Oh, geez, the Revlon, L'Oreal, Elle, Harper's Bazaar, GQ. Wow. He was doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine he gave all this up for opening his wallet and spending a lot of his money to make this endeavor really work. And can you imagine being someone who has lived, whatever, 10, 12, 15, 20 years and feeling or avoiding mirrors most of your life?
It's a difficult thing to try to put yourself into their shoes and truly have the correct level of empathy for it. I mean, we can try to say it sounds horrific, but to actually experience that, I personally certainly could not relate, but I can only imagine how difficult it can be. I know how hard it's been just being a minority, just being an Asian woman. So take my situation and multiply it by 100. I couldn't even imagine.
And not being able to look in the mirror I mean, most of us look in the mirror sometimes. We don't like what we see because we're having a bad hair day, or we gain 5 pounds, or our teeth need whitening. Mm-hmm. Very surface things. But these are conditions, most of them genetic conditions, that they have no control over. And think of those books. Liz was referring to those textbooks. I mean, think about when you were back in high school or in college, and you remember seeing those terrible videos, or when you were getting your driver's license, those prevention videos and or textbooks and the pictures. They were horrific, right? Something out of a 1950s show.
Well, I also ran into a company, and I don't know the name of the company off the top of my head, but I did see it online, and It was focusing on the stock photography industry, and most of the stock photos that so many companies use in their brochures and advertising and textbooks, things of that nature, you always have that very classic look of what a man and a woman should look like. And 9 times out of 10, a lot of times they're white. And on top of that, they're never disabled or have any kind of defect. So there is a company out there that is trying to change the face of imagery.
Liz, I believe you're back.
Yeah, I'm back. I don't know what happened. What's going on the phone lines?
You probably had a sneezing hay fever
yeah.
attack, right? So Liz and I were just commenting basically while you were gone how if you go on positiveexposure.org, how,
yeah.
and I may be speaking out of turn here, but is the woman you're talking about on the bus stop, is she sort of the unofficial or the official face of Positive Exposure? Because I see her everywhere on the website, and she's absolutely stunning.
I think our logo actually is another young woman, Kiki, actually, and it, from another, it probably is one part of the one you're thinking of, who's actually from kind of around the globe. And so it's actually a different young woman, but we do have that woman on there. In, if you go on Pod 6, you'll kind of, there's an area where it will probably, it says sort of Life Magazine, you'll be able to see the gallery of that Life Magazine spread. But what really happened after that Life Magazine spread is that Rick ended up going on this whole global journey. He thought he was sort of done with what he had done. It was sort of a project. And he started getting calls from all over the world, from, you know, Fiji and little islands in Fiji and Africa. I mean, his story is so, it's really an incredible journey of all these individuals all over the world living with albinism. And he went around and he took, you know, this amazing photos of these young people. And there was, then it went on into where he received an award from the Genetic Alliance. And at the time, the president of the Genetic Alliance was a geneticist by the name of Janine Cody. And she said, you know, what you have here is amazing, but I think you have a universal message here. There's more here. I'd love for you to come to the Chromosome 18 conference, because Janine was also and still is the president of and founder of the Chromosome 18 Registry and Research Society, which is another chromosomal anomaly. And she said, you know, I'd like for you to come. And he's like, sure, because he's always like, yes, yes, yes. And then he realized, what's a chromosome 18 and what's a chromosomal anomaly? He didn't know.
Google.
And so he started looking in on the, you know, again, going into the textbooks and so forth, and seeing again those images with the black box, you know, and completely no humanity, just full of fear and just, you know, evoking so much fear and just not, no humanity. And so he had all of these, you know, and there were pictures of kids with, you know, trachs and cleft lip and palate and all these different things. And he didn't know what to expect. He thought albinism was so easy. What was going to come? So he goes to this conference down in San Antonio in 2000, in the summer of 2000. And he walks through the door. He has all these images burned in his head. But when he opens the door into sort of where they have like the kids hanging out in the childcare, he just saw kids, and they were smiling and laughing, and they were jumping all over him. And yes, they had trachs and cleft lip and palate and, you know, everything, but they were first and foremost, they were kids, and they were beautiful kids. And if you go on the website too, you'll see chromosome 18. And that was sort of, that was really when positive exposure, I think, really was born. It became this realization of, wow, these children and adults and beautiful people and their kids, most importantly, and I need to do something about that. So basically, that's where he started, and he has now gone around the world, going to family conferences and taking photographs of all these beautiful people living with a variety of genetic, physical, behavioral, cognitive differences, and then now partnering with organizations and nonprofits and universities and medical schools and corporations and everything around the world, really, to change the way society sees people living with difference, and really sort of, you know, celebrating difference, and yet also realizing our shared humanity.
Absolutely.
And from that, so many different things and programs have emerged.
Love to hear your feedback, or if you have a question for Liz, 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. This is PRN.FM. The show is Insight. Liz Malone and Mark Farrow with the Executive Director of Positive Exposure, Liz Grossman. Hey, Liz, now, back in 1998, you kind of were opening the door to the direction. The internet was just really kind of gaining some momentum back then. And Rick was doing a lot of research and kind of forming his idea. But where do you think he had no idea, nor did we, how big the internet was going to be back then. But what did he see as his foothold and or his platform for all these pictures and or his concepts to show the world?
You know, it sort of has sort of evolved. He really, really always wanted to have it in a magazine, and it did end up in a magazine. But I think he really realized that he really wants to change not just the way these photographs now are exhibiting throughout, you know, in different places, whether it's, you know, or in, you know, in museums. He really, more than anything, really wants it and has had it in public spaces so that people, just the general public, can see it and really just change the way, you know, all of society sees it. Has, you know, putting photographs are displayed through formal exhibitions, They're also being used in medical textbooks now, actually changing out those former images and replacing it with these new images. There's a beautiful photo of a young man with his arms spread out in a swimming pool on the website, and this young man has Marfan syndrome, and you know, when you look at some of the pictures of sort of yesteryear, which by the way still are being used, again, it's that black box up against a, you know, a cold white wall in a doctor's office, new, but
sure,
everything covered,
really demoralizing.
Demoralizing, and you know, the young man, if you look at it, and it is on our website, there will be that Marfan syndrome, the longer arms and so forth, this and instead he's like saying, we can show the same, you know, same thing even for the medical profession by just in the swimming pool. You know, you have this beautiful young man with his arms spread out and you see the same thing, but it's a kid in a swimming pool, and it's really important. And so much of what we do is about just changing the way these images and also the people in it and the stories behind it. And you know, we have programs as a result of coming out that whether it's in K through 12 schools, we have a program called the Pearls Project, which is Positive Exposure Ambassadors, Real Life Stories. And it really is this thing which we use the internet, and it was done because we wanted to bring an exhibition to life. And it was really initially started with the idea of, here's a photograph, what do you see? And then maybe you read some blog and something about the person, and then you ask the question, who do you see now? And that was sort of the premise. But it really has turned into something else. And that is that we now have ambassadors, children and adults living, and their families, living with genetic, physical, behavioral, and cognitive differences, blogging about life from their unique perspective. And having these pages and videos and just about themselves, like, you know, that they like Justin Bieber, or, you know, they love to, you know,
normal kid stuff.
Do all the different
sure.
things. And so we're bringing those into schools, and there's created, and really it's a tool where, you know, and it's been going through K through 12, as well as in, you know, community-based organizations and religious schools and so forth, where they're using, people are having access to these blogs and reading about life from their perspective and really seeing beyond disability. And it's also now also used as a tool, a professional development tool for teachers, because they can get a better insight. Parents can talk about some of the things that go on, you know, in the classroom that are and that might be frustrating or what have you, and they're able to sort of be able to be ambassadors and be able to be advocates, and then teachers and or health professionals can read these blogs. And so we have a whole program that we have there called the Pearls Project.
The gift that you're giving these individuals, these kids, I mean, it's immeasurable. It's unbelievable. I'm sure you have one of the best jobs in the world.
You know,
I love it. Well, actually, my daughter, that's how I know Rick, is because I first met Rick in 2000 at the Chromosome 18 conference, because my 8-month-old at the time had 18 G-minus and has 18 G-minus. She's going to be 15 today. But
can you define that, Liz?
I'm sorry?
Can you define that, please?
Sure. So she has there's a chromosome. Most people know, like, Down syndrome, trisomy mm-hmm. 21. But there's a load of other chromosomal anomalies. And so she has something called 18q minus, which sounds like an algebraic expression. Certainly did to me when I first
sure.
heard it. And it just means that she has a piece missing from her long arm of her 18th chromosome. And so it impacts her in various ways. And just like with Rick and why this important, why positive exposure is so important, when we first found out about our daughter, she was 2 weeks old. And the physician,
wow.
who ended up later on being wonderful for us, but at the time, you know, he didn't know. He doesn't know these things. And, you know, it's not like basically medical students get 1 week of genetics in their first year of medical school, and that's it. So here was this pediatrician with a little baby with 18 G-minus. He'd never had a patient like this before. And so he said to us, he kind of brought us in. He was very, very bleak, and he said, you know, you're going to lose family, and you're going to lose friends, and you're going to get a divorce, and he went on and on and on. And then he gave us those images with the black box, and he said, your child is going to live in a vegetative frog-like position for 88 years or 2 years.
Wow.
Basically put her in an institution. And that was it. And
welcome to parenthood.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. This is our first kid. So it was really so important. I mean, the journey is another journey. But lo and behold, luckily, 8 months later at the Chromosome 18 conference, there comes Rick Guidotti with his photos and his story and his journey and his just everything, this sort of message. And it was so amazing and empowering. And then a few years later, I was lucky enough to move back up to the New York City area and get to work for an organization such as Positive Exposure. So for me, it's just fantastic.
Liz, it sounds like I lived it. It sounds like you're definitely doing some amazing work with Rick. And I just had a question for you. In the situations where the photographs are picked up by, say, a magazine or some of these publishers, are the models used? Are they somehow compensated?
Our models? You mean the pictures of the families? Is that what you're the kids in the images?
Right.
Really, what it is that it part of what we do in the sort of like that whole idea of Positive Exposure, the Pearls. Or another program, which we call Frame, which is another thing I can tell you about. These are families and kids. It really is empowering them to become advocates. So how they're compensated for is by saying, hey, showing the world that this is this beautiful child. And so it really is, that it's not a monetary thing. It's a nonprofit, but really we're kind of building, self-advocates. And the idea is, self-acceptance equals self-esteem equals self-advocacy. And so what really these photographs are of people who are basically self-advocates, and to show the world, that they're, people just like everyone else. And so that's the compensation there. And really changing the way society sees people living with difference. And that really is very important. So they're all part of this really important movement. To change the way society views difference on a whole universal level. It goes beyond even physical, cognitive, behavioral, and genetic difference. It sort of is about all difference, really, and are celebrating it, and yet also realizing our shared humanity.
And the word difference keeps coming up, and it's such a great word, because one of my mottos as a speaker when I'm not here, I speak to kids K through 12, college, and corporations as well, but my motto is my difference makes me stronger. And it's so true, because your uniqueness makes you who you are.
Yeah.
This is PRN.FM. The show is Insight. Liz Malone and Mark Farrow with guests Liz Grossman Moore from Positive Exposure right after this. Yes, my pants are still tight, and I still have debris in my eye. But we're still broadcasting live from New York City in PRN studios on the Upper West Side. How are you feeling, Liz?
I'm feeling good.
Great.
Have to clarify something. I meant to do this before. We have two very close names. We have Liz Grossman, who's on the phone. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
And Liz has allergies today. And then we have my co-host, Liz, L-I-S.
Ah,
exactly. So when I say, I may have to say Malone or Grossman in the future. So very, very unrelated, but a little bit related to understanding how people feel when they feel different is one of the things. I have a permanent visual impairment, and Liz is visually impaired as well. We both have different devices that we use to get around in this world. Mine that allows me to drive is a telescopic device. So Liz, L-I-Z, if you can imagine your dentist, what he wears, like a telescope or a surgeon, that's what I wear to drive. So when I'm driving and I'm at a stoplight or anywhere, I get these looks like you wouldn't believe. Or when I'm in a restaurant and I pull out this magnifier, the comments come flying from the staff, from people next to me. And it's a very, very, it's hard to compare, certainly, to people with congenital defects. But feeling different is just that, feeling different. So I guess sometimes you can't compare, because just being different and feeling that impact is understood and can be palpable.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting that you say that also about people staring and so forth. One of the things that Rick kind of had with Positive Exposure and as an artist, it was sort of this idea of when, sometimes when you go down the street, and I certainly have experienced it on both sides, when you go down the street and you see a person, sometimes a parent will tell a child, don't stare, and basically tell them, look away. But by telling a child to look away, you're basically saying that there's some, it really sends a very wrong message.
You're supporting the stigma.
Yes. And so, it's interesting. One of the things that Rick says, and he always says, he's as an artist, by having these photographs and then exhibiting them and then doing all these other things that we do with them, but really it's about setting the gaze of the viewer, of the person, to sort of say, stop, look at this picture, and look at the person and don't look away. And then maybe read a little thing about the person or see a video or whatever it might be. But it really is changing. And so that, you know, the idea is and so that when you see someone on the street, rather than look away, you might go and say hello, you know, as opposed to, you know, it really is an interesting thing. And so that's very much about one of the things that we definitely do. And one of the things when we bring these beautiful photos and so forth, especially into a school, it allows kids to just walk down and look at the photos. And after a while, they just see the kid, you know, and that's really what it is all about. So, yeah, very
that's
much.
What it should be. Now, you mentioned before when your child was born at 2 weeks of age, is it he or she?
It's a she.
She was diagnosed. How old is she now?
She's going to be... She's 14.
Oh, fantastic.
And very much a 14-year-old.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a whole other conversation. Well, that, you know what? I'm glad to hear that because she should be a normal teenager with a lot of conflict in the family. So now tell me, as a parent, you mentioned this, and I've obviously read between the lines walking down the street. You must have felt and or wanted to rip people's heads off their shoulders many times by either stares or comments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Nice to work for Positive Exposure because I get to channel my energy in a positive way.
Funneled very well. But do me a favor, because I think this is important. I just want to touch on this for a moment. Where do you think people come from when they say something so insensitive and or shallow? Just lack of education?
I think it's just, yeah, I think they don't know any better. And I know, I think that's part of it is, like, there is a little bit of an ignorance there. And I have seen, and I've seen it by very educated people. You know, people just... I don't think that they're really, let's see if it's like people using the R word or something, you know what I mean? They don't, it's I mean, I think some people do it intentionally, but other times I really don't think they know any better. And I think that's why it's important to, like, some like organizations help people change the way they see in a very positive way. We don't shove it down their throats or anything, but we just sort of say, hey, you know, that we found, you know, it's interesting, Rick. If Rick were on it right now, he has all these amazing, incredible stories about, you know, where he saw people sort of enlightened, and kind of when they're enlightened, they'll never go back to being the way they were. They're changed, and they're changed forever. And he tells a story about working, you know, out, and it was sort of with individuals with children with leprosy, and how they were afraid, and just the whole story, and how he kind of changed the way. They viewed it, and how the nurses then, you know, they were afraid, and all of a sudden they were, you know, hugging and kissing these kids, and they're just, everything had changed, everything about it. So it's just really interesting. I again, he has these fantastic stories and tales, but I do think that it's just changing the way people.
You mentioned a few of the positive exposure programs. Do me a favor, talk briefly about the Corporate Diversity and Awareness Seminar, because we all know corporations have their fair share of problems, because Liz and I both have worked for corporations and weren't thrilled with the way we were treated. But that's life in corporate world. So how does this happen?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Like, you know, oftentimes corporations will have sort of diversity week or diversity day, which we don't love, like, just the diversity day or the disability day, because we feel like every day should be about, you know, awareness. But I think, you know, really one of the things that we do in corporations is, yeah, I think with a positive exposure, it is going in and, again, changing the way people perceive difference. And we have workshops there, and people, not only employees within the corporate setting, you know, but potential applicants, and also people that are there with families who might have a child at home with living with a genetic, physical, behavioral, cognitive difference. So it's really helping sort of the corporate world become a little bit more open and sensitive, and just really, just again, the same way that we do kind of everything. It's just all about just changing perceptions for a positive way, and we find that it's very helpful in that setting. And we've done, you know, we've done for Goldman Sachs and various corporations, and so it's a very important indeed, especially I think in some of these corporate world.
And talk about FRAME, the FACES Redefining the Art of Medical Education, which you touched on a little bit before.
Yeah, so FACES, the FRAME, which this is I think a really cool thing, and what it is it's basically, it started a long time ago based on a few years ago, on a movie at the time. It was called The Pearls of Dysmorphology. And it was, at the time, the doctor was very much a pioneer in his field, and showing, you know, people living with all these various genetic conditions but again, a little clinical. And so this was really to sort of change it in a positive exposure kind of way and show the humanity. And so what we've been doing is we're creating videos, and these videos are meant for medical students, but also for seasoned, you know, veterans in the field, because many children living now with genetic conditions go on and become, go in, they live into adulthood. And so what happens is in the adult healthcare system, there are many physicians now that are getting patients that they might not have ever had before that might have, you know, 18q minus or Down syndrome or cerebral palsy or whatever, you know, it's some sort of in that regard. And they really need to sort of see the humanity as well. So we've created these videos for each. We have one for, we're in the midst of creating one for albinism, but we have one for, we've created one for Turner syndrome and Marfan and Sturge-Weber, and there are these videos where people living with the various conditions really present their condition and all the hallmark characteristics, but also the humanity about it. So there's their people, families, and they're laughing, but also at the same time, it's very educational, and so they're very short, and they can be used by medical students, or they can be used as a reference for an adult healthcare practitioner to go in and see those videos to really get a quick snapshot of the condition, but also, most importantly, see the person, hear them talk, see them move, and their story, and then you kind of remember it forever. I mean, it's so interesting. I'm not, my background is not science, but I know all these various terms now and what they are and so forth because I know people. And that's so important. So it's really important. So these videos are these. We're just making a series, a library. It's going to be on our website.
Great, fantastic.
It'll be open to the public.
Now, was this the impetus for the new film on beauty, a documentary about the working community of your organization, Positive Exposure?
Well, no, actually not. That on beauty, the director, Joanna Rudnick, was actually working on another, had done another film, actually won an award for it, in the family, on the BRCA gene. And when she met Rick. Again, he's full of energy, and she really loved what he was doing and what Positive Exposure was doing. So she decided, hey, do a documentary. So this documentary, initially it followed three young women, living with achondroplasia, which is a form of dwarfism. She actually is a pediatrician out Bio now, originally from the middle. And then there's a young woman with Sturge-Weber, as well as a young woman, Jane, and with albinism, living in Kenya. And it follows their whole story. And the shorter version now follows Jane and Sarah, who's Sturge-Weber. And then it follows Rick as he goes around and also goes over into, you know, Tanzania. I don't know if you know about Tanzania, but in Tanzania, witch doctors are telling people, bring me the bones of an albino and I can potion to make you rich. And so there's these horrible atrocities going on in Tanzania.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
Horrible.
How long has
it
this
really
been happening for?
It's been happening for a few years. It's really horrible. And schools that are, you know, safe housing them now, and it's unfortunately spreading over into Kenya, and that's where in this film you'll hear Jane.
Is the government doing anything to prevent this?
Unfortunately, there's superstition, you know, and witch doctors sometimes there's a, you know, belief. It's not a good situation. So in that film, you'll see a little bit of that as well. And Jane, what she's doing, living in the, you know, the neighboring country of Kenya and her story, as well as, Sarah, who's upstate New York, living with Sturge-Weber and her story, and then Rick going around the world. And it's just a wonderful documentary on Positive Exposure and the community of Positive Exposure and these amazing young women.
Liz and I have seen firsthandly how positive and life-changing it is to impact someone's life, even just volunteering at an event, giving them some, you know, some great advice or just giving them a pat on the back, encouraging words. So I imagine you have stories beyond stories, Liz, about some of the impact that Positive Exposure has had on subjects. Can you share one or two of those, please?
Oh, yeah. It's really amazing. Well, these young women, for example. I mean, here's an example of Jane in Kenya, how she's become so empowered that she sort of started her own Positive Exposure in Kenya and going around and doing
Love
things
it.
Actually, you know,
outstanding.
Going out around and yeah, it's amazing.
How old is she?
Are, I'm sorry?
How old is she?
You know, I don't know actually her age. She's in her, I would say she's in her 20s.
Great.
Yeah, and she's fantastic. And she's on the website as well. And, you know, I mean, every day, I mean, it really is interesting. And I say it's positive exposure. It's Rick as well. I mean, he really is. I have to say he's a little bit of a rock star. But when he goes in, it's just really incredible. People really are empowered. I've seen it within my own daughter. My daughter is Pearls Project Ambassador, for example. And she's just become like a self-advocate. You just see, I mean, the stories are so many stories. They're endless. It's just fantastic.
What I love to see is some of the pictures on the website. Sorry for cutting you off, Liz. And I know Liz at the table has seen a website where it looks like maybe they were at a conference and you have all these individuals, maybe 5 or 10 of them together, and they have all different conditions and they look so happy to be in a room with people alike, but not alike, but share the same experiences of stares, banter, inappropriate words, insensitivity, et cetera.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's interesting. I think... You know, it's really interesting. I think in many ways, I think myself and also by being a part of this positive exposure world and also with the Chromosome 18 community, I can say that they are pretty, you know, I'm actually running the Chromosome 18 conference in Stanford this coming July. And, you know, it's just an amazing community. And I think sometimes, you know, in some ways I feel kind of very fortunate. I feel like I'm part of a wonderful group of people. And I'm privy to maybe some of the things in life that maybe I wouldn't have been aware of before. You know, I don't take things so for granted. I really see some of those milestones, and I just really appreciate things. And I think that's what I find in these communities. There is a happiness there in many ways. We really sort of see another side of things, and I think it's really important. And it's sort of power in numbers and what have you. But those pictures are real, and they're happy, and Rick, when he takes the photographs, he makes people smile.
So, Liz Grossman, usually around this time of the show, Liz has probably spewed out about 2 or 3 stats. Liz, no statistics yet.
No, unfortunately.
I have one.
Yay,
I have one. I was waiting for you to.
That's a first.
Yeah, exactly. 1 out of 5 children born has a cognitive or physical disability nowadays. That's a large number.
According to?
According to their website. Positive exposure.
There you go. Always source.
I have a source,
there
right?
You go.
Right, Liz Grossman?
Yeah, no, it is. And actually, we got that number when we were,
it was up
at the New York Department of Health. And it was, and as if you can find that, it is 1 out of 5 that are living with disability in the United States today. It's pretty significant.
And that's roughly about 55 million Americans, which is gargantuan. And that runs the gamut, of course.
It runs the gamut, of course.
So where does Rick see this organization in 5-10 years from now?
Well, we'd really like to have an institute, and we just love to have a place. I mean, we partner with so many organizations and medical schools and so forth all over the world, and we go and we have exhibitions here and there and everywhere, and we have our place in New York City. But we would really love to have a place in New York City where people could just come in, and you know, we could have an exhibition up and run up all the time, and we could have workshops and lectures and bring in everything, you know, just really have kind of an institute or a center. That's where we are kind of heading, and we hope we will hopefully have within the next 5 to 10 years, which would be fantastic.
Phenomenal organization, Positive Exposure. Liz Grossman, thank you so much for your time. Your website, positiveexposure.org, positiveexposure.org. Love the name. And of course, you're always looking for funding because you have about $250,000 a year that you weren't running on, and that's absolutely nothing. That's peanuts.
Yeah.
And volunteers, correct?
We have so many volunteers. We have so many friends. We're just so fortunate. Yeah, we're having a gala on May 1st, actually, in New York City on Thursday.
Any tickets left?
You can go on the website, and there's some tickets there still.
And so, what's the venue? What's the venue?
The venue is it's going to be in New York City, and it's in the East Side.
Liz, just messed up. You forgot the name. It's cool. It's okay. It happens. It's early in the morning. What kind?
Yeah,
it's lunchtime.
Right. So I had it all ready to go.
No problem.
Yeah. So it's on the site May 1st, and we have wonderful hosts: Ralph Rucci, Daisy Sorosh, Ian Falconer, which is Olivia the Pig, and Beth Jacobs, though. We
have fantastic.
A great group of people. So yeah.
I'm sure there'll be some great photographs around the night.
I'm sure there will be.
Yeah. Well, tell hello to Rick for us, please, and we wish he were here. And all the best to you. And thanks again for your time and for making someone feel like there is a place for them in this world, and no one should feel like they're different and treated differently as well.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, Liz, you rock. Take care.
Okay,
feel better.
Bye-bye.
Feel better.
Oh, thanks.
Very
thanks.
Cool.
Bye.
Very cool, huh, Liz?
Absolutely.
Now
very
we can drop
cool.
the Z and go back
yeah,
to an S. Did you hear about this kid who was a stowaway on a plane?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
I think the doctors are still all scratching their heads on how he survived.
Unbelievable. Well, if you haven't heard, there was a 15-year-old boy who was, get this, unhappy with his parents. That's an anomaly in itself, right? So he wanted to run away, and he for 7 hours, he got over a fence at an airport in San Jose, and he chose his plane because it was simply the closest one to the fence, and he got in a wheel well of this plane and crashed. Got some Z's for about 7 hours, and I guess the plane fired up, and off he goes. He was in a five-hour flight, and I had no idea it got this cold up there, minus 50 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Because of the altitude.
Yep, and lack of oxygen. Mm-hmm. So this is the second time I have stats, Liz.
Oh, my.
This is incredible.
I can hardly.
Giselle, we need some stat music next week. So apparently a quarter of the 240-some-odd people that have tried this have died.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is when you're that high above and there's little oxygen, either you keel over, you bite the big one, or your body slows down, your heart rate, your brain activity, and everything, you're breathing, and that's how you survive.
Mm-hmm.
But still, minus 50, you would think the kid would just be frostbitten.
I think it helped him medically because he was young and very healthy. So I think that's what I heard one of the doctors mention, that his current state, that his state of health going into it played a big part in his survival. But they're still all scratching their heads.
But wouldn't you think, I would think that if you're in a wheel well, there's probably not much room when
I would
tire.
Never be in a wheel well.
Yeah. What, you don't scratch your head when you're on a train home thinking like, I want to ride in a wheel well today. That's it's on my bucket list. yeah, you wouldn't think so, but I would think when that wheel protrudes and goes back up and seals in the cavity of the fuselage, there wouldn't be much room. But I guess there was. I would think that you'd be crushed. And then when it opens up, don't you think the guy would be tossed out?
Well,
apparently not.
I guess I can't remember from the last time I was inside a wheel well to really know how much
space. Because you were too intoxicated. And you were smaller. And you were wearing your skinny jeans. I got to keep that in mind if I do this. Well, you know what? Airlines probably have a great idea. Don't tell me there's not a CEO somewhere going, you know what? Maybe we can fit some 15-year-olds in there that are 5'5" and below and not offer them a free movie and peanut service, and we can charge them a fee.
It'll be like cryogenic flying.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. There's something there. Pretend you didn't hear that last statement,
okay,
everybody, because that is our idea. We are copywriting that and trademarking that.
Okay.
If you have a good idea, phone in at 888-874-4888. But that's a great organization, Positive Exposure, I'll tell you. The fact that, you know, we don't see these people on the streets often enough. And it's understandable why.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in our area, I would think it would be maybe a little bit more forgiving to be in a metropolitan area because there are people a little bit more open-minded. But then again, there are millions of people on this, 2x12 island. So maybe the likelihood is you'll get even stared more often, because I think it's human nature. When you see something that's unique, it could be a car, could be a building. At first, you want to stare, but then you realize it's someone and you have to exercise tact.
I think in New York, most natives find themselves staring more at the tourists than staring at each other.
Good point. Good point.
Because they're the ones that really stick out.
There was a double-decker bus, which New York City is known for. And a few years ago, this is great. I got a dose of my own medicine. Double-decker bus is approaching me, and it stops at a light in front of me. And I couldn't help it. It was a nice day, and you could tell, you know, they're clicking their cameras away and pointing and ooh and aahing. And I looked up and said, hey, which way to the Statue of Liberty? And a lot of people laugh. You know what someone else said to me on the bus? They said, hey, F you! I thought that was fantastic. Well, it's not only Earth Day, it's Earth Week. So are you doing your best recycle, reuse, repurpose. Well, that's what we're doing around here. PRN, we got a big message, and we have a big way to repackage, repurpose, reuse, because this show and all our show, Liz, are on
PRN.fm.
Yeah, podcast. Mm-hmm. We're podcastable. So no cellophane, no plastic, nothing like that. You just go to PRN.fm, click on the shows, look under Insight, and you'll see Liz's beautiful picture. The 51st most beautiful person in the world.
Lucky 51.
You want to tell them what we have coming up next week, Liz? Just make something up quick because I don't have any idea.
You're so much better at it than I am.
So
no.
Exactly. Throw it back to me. We have no idea what we're going to do next week, but it's going to be really compelling and some fun shit, I promise. Special thanks to all the rocking folks around here, Jason Taubenfeld, Casey at the controls, making some great promos, and Giselle. And to, of course, hats off to Mr. Gary Null. Matt Iani, we miss you, my friend. Liz Malone, say something compelling.
Compelling.
Compelling. I'm going to get out of these tight jeans and get my eye looked at. Mark Farron, Liz Malone on InsidePRN.fm, where progressive minds hang out and rock out. See you next week.